Among the names of the masters of literature, art, and science engraved in the outside wall of the Boston Public Library is Nantucket-born, renowned 19th-century astronomer Maria Mitchell. Mitchell, who eventually became a professor at Vassar College, is acclaimed as the first American woman to work professionally in astronomy. A key part of her story is told in a new book about how and why she and other prominent U.S. scientists, including Thomas Edison, chased a total solar eclipse that crossed part of the U.S. in July of 1878. Former WBUR and NPR science reporter David Barron is the author of this new book titled American Eclipse. In it, Barron writes about how eclipses fundamentally changed 19th century American science and captured the imagination of the era.
As a natural spectacle, people just found them beautiful and awe-inspiring, but they also, back in the mid to late 19th century, total solar eclipses were very important to science because astronomers had just started to be able to investigate questions about the sun. I mean, what is this giant ball of fire in the sky? And there were certain studies that could only be done during a total solar eclipse, which meant that every 18 months or so, somewhere on the planet, there would be a total eclipse, would last 2 or 3 minutes, and astronomers would head off, sit in the path of where the eclipse would pass, set up their equipment, hope that no clouds got in the way, and frantically conduct their studies.
In the book, you tell the story of three people hell-bent, as you say, to make their names at the dawn of American astronomy. How does this story reflect the scientific curiosity of America at that time?
Very, very much so. So, you know, 1878, the United States was an adolescent nation. We were kind of intellectually immature. The Europeans looked down on us. But we had a small group of American scientists who were determined to show Europe what we could do, that we could take them on. And in 1878, here a total solar eclipse crosses our own backyard. It was a chance for the United States to prove that we could actually be more mature as an intellectual nation.
All right, let's talk about the people you follow in the book. Let's start with Edison. What was he trying to prove?
Well, so Edison, at this point, this is a young Thomas Edison, 31 years old. He had just become well-known because he invented the phonograph. And in fact, he invented a device called the tizimeter, specifically to study the eclipsed sun. It was a very sensitive, in essence, electric thermometer. He wanted to see if the solar corona, this aura around the sun, gave off heat as well as light.
All right, Maria Mitchell, the book points out she had already made her name in the 1840s when she discovered a comet. She was a well-known scientist, a feminist, was teaching at Vassar. Why was this eclipse important to Mitchell?
It was very important to her in terms of showing what women could do in science. And the 1870s was a really important time in the evolution of higher education for women in America. Women's colleges were just really starting up. But at the same time, a Harvard physician named Edward H. Clark came out with a best-selling book that claimed, and I kid you not, that higher education was bad for a woman's health. That if a woman, if a maturing girl used her brain too much, it sapped energy from her reproductive organs, and that a girl would become a sterile, masculine invalid. And Maria Mitchell, of course, thought this was rubbish. And in 1878, when all these men were going out to the Wild West with their eclipse expeditions, she put together an all-female eclipse expedition to show that women could be smart, educated, healthy, and feminine. And there are these wonderful photographs of the Vassar Eclipse Party in their Victorian dresses out on the plains of Colorado with their telescope.
I want to read a line out of the book about the eclipse of 1878. The sun's crescent had now grown exceedingly slender, a mere filament. It continued to shrink, like an ember burning itself out at the ends. Before vanishing, however, this glowing thread produced a final brilliant display. It shattered into a string of shimmering jewels. You've taken in five eclipses, David Barron, at five different spots around the globe. Explain to us why you chase them. What stirs your curiosity or maybe your soul by these events?
Soul is the right word. You know, I saw my first total eclipse as a science journalist, and I was approaching it from a scientific point of view. For me, it's not a scientific event. It just taps into something incredibly deep and really spiritual. And it only happens every 18 months on average somewhere on the planet. So I'll go to Indonesia or I'll go to the Faroe Islands or Australia or wherever I have to go to have that experience again. And luckily, in August, it's coming to America.
So exactly where, exactly when, and where are you going to be?
So the date is August 21st. It will be a partial solar eclipse everywhere in North America, including Boston, but it will be a total solar eclipse only along what's called the Path of Totality, which is 70 miles wide, which will stretch from Oregon to South Carolina. And in order to experience the total eclipse, which I would encourage as many people as possible to do, because it's fundamentally different, a total eclipse versus a partial eclipse, I'll be in Wyoming. I will be in Jackson, Wyoming, which sits right in the middle of the path of where the moon's shadow will go.
Well, maybe I'll try to wrangle myself an invitation, David Barron. Thanks a lot for coming in. Great to see you again.
Wonderful to see you, Bob.
David Barron is author of the new book, American Eclipse, A Nation's Epic Race to Catch the Shadow of the Moon and Win the Glory of the World. David speaks tonight at the Harvard Bookstore on Mass Ave in Cambridge at 7 p.m.